everyone, and welcome to the Her Journey Told podcast. On this show, we will focus on strengthening women's mental fitness through sharing the joy, struggle, and wisdom of each woman's journey. Our show is powered by Pivotal Moments. Go to pivotalmoments.org to learn more. Hello, and welcome to the Her Journey Told podcast. This podcast is powered by Pivotal Moments Media. I'm your host, Sandy Lutton, and I'm excited to be joined today by a very interesting guest, Chris Perlmutter. Welcome, Chris. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. As you know, on this show, we have our guests kind of tell their journey and talk about the successes, the hardships, and the wisdom you've learned along the way in hopes of really inspiring and helping our audience to thrive in their own lives. So you have such a fascinating story, and I actually had a lot of fun just digging in because there's a lot of great insight and information about you on the internet too. And I know you can't believe everything you read, but it's all good for you. So
there's a lot, and I've got like multiple, I mean, we'll get into this later, but I've got like multiple last names. So, so that's always fun too, because I'm like, well, what last name did you Google? Because
It's typically women who struggle with that one. We've all, you know, if you've been married or divorced or whatever, right, you're going to have multiple names out there. So I can relate to that. You know, at one point I chose to use my maiden name for my career. And then once I had children, I was like, well, that's kind of odd. Now my children don't have the same last name as me. So I chose to change my name. And then several people knew I was married and they're like, well, did you get divorced? I was like, well, no, it's suddenly I have to explain everything, but I can relate to that.
But only a woman problem, right?
Because exactly.
Men don't change their last names. That's a whole different podcast, but like men don't change their last name. So they don't have to deal with the multiple last name situation.
Exactly. Well, I'm excited to hear more about your story today. And I've, like I said, did a lot of digging and just fascinated with kind of the progression of your career. You started out in the fashion industry. Mm-hmm. You became a blog writer, and then you wrote your own book. And then, you know, actually did TV appearances on the Today Show, became an on-air expert. And you're an entrepreneur. You have a very successful real estate business. So I know that you grew up in Southeast Virginia on a farm, which I'm very excited about because I'm also from Southern Virginia. Not necessarily a farm, but
farms, I swear. Or the best people grew up in Virginia. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, I totally agree. But I'm just fascinated to find out more about how that experience shaped you and kind of what set you on your path for your career.
Yeah. And I can kind of, go back to the beginning. So I did grow up on a farm in Southeastern Virginia. My dad owns it currently. And when I was growing up, he was a farmer. So I grew up in a peanut field, and my mom was working at the time. And so after maternity leave, I was really with my dad. And, you know, I've got pictures, obviously, like I don't have the memories of it, but I've got, you know, pictures of just like me being on a tractor with him and picking peanuts and in the corn, you know, corn bins and everything. And so my dad actually ended up buying, when I was younger, his grandfather's farm, which is really cool because his grandfather grew up there, his dad grew up there, and then my dad's family, you know, us, we grew up there. And so it just, you know, looking back on it, it truly taught me the meaning of hard work. And, you know, I just grew up from a young age actually working the farm. Like my parents had a blueberry patch, and in the summer, it was my job to pick the blueberries and sell them. And then midday, you would sell corn on the side of the road. And, you know, I always grew up around animals and taking care of them. So there was always a job to do, but there was also this, and I'm seeing this now because I have a daughter and we're living, you know, in Nashville, which is a city. There was this independence that came from growing up in a rural area because you weren't really going to get, nothing was going to happen that parents these days are concerned with. So I was taught independence at a young age, and I was also taught, you know, the value of hard work. And on top of it, I think the most important thing was, you growing up in a small town like that, you learned how to be genuinely kind and nice to one another because everybody knew each other and you're related to half of them in some way. So it was a great way to grow up. And I don't know that you're always appreciative of it at the time because in my head, so I graduated from high school and my graduating class was 13 kids. Like,
Wow.
that was it. It was 13 kids. And from there, I went to Virginia Tech, which is obviously a really large school. And it was just good, I feel like, because again, my parents had taught me independence. I was super friendly, not like exactly the most outgoing, but just like a nice, like kind of easy person to get along with. So the transition to college was pretty easy for me. And I ended up majoring in fashion, PR, and marketing. And from there, my senior year, I actually got an internship in New York City. And so I moved up there for a semester and didn't know anyone, didn't know anything except how to take the subway from my apartment to Times Square, which is where I worked at Condé Nast at one of the magazines. And so I really got into the fashion industry and New York. So once I graduated, I ended up moving back up there and I was working in fashion PR. And I was really loving it, but there was something, you're not getting paid the best, you're not getting treated the best, you're working a ton. And so on the side, I actually started a blog at the time when like blogs were really starting to become a thing. And but they were really like a hobby for people. It wasn't like you were quitting your job to like be a blogger. So I fast forward a little bit, I got married pretty young to my now ex-husband, and I ended up turning the blog. I was doing a lot of writing and food photography and video work, and I ended up actually turning that into a career because I started doing cooking and entertaining segments on Fox News, The Today Show, Inside Edition, and Access Hollywood. And I ended up just running that circuit for a long time. And so I really, went from blogging and food photography into making it a true television career. And I really credit that to the person that I am today. Just outgoing, now I'm in real estate, obviously, and that's a sales job, but really the TV world is a sales job as well. You're just selling yourself and created this whole brand and persona for myself that was basically right around being like the young married Martha Stewart. And that was my whole identity. And I wrote about this in my book. I wrote a book called Breakup Positive when I got divorced. And I ended up divorcing, leaving the TV industry for a bit because, again, I had this whole persona around being like the perfect homemaker, the perfect wife, this box. I was brunette at the time, and like I just always like joke. I'm like, I ended up getting divorced, moving to Los Angeles, dyeing my hair blonde, just kind of going through it wasn't really a midlife crisis because I was 32 at the time, but it was just one of those things where it was like, even when I look at pictures of back in my like early TV days, it's like it's kind of crazy to me because it's a different person. And that obviously comes with, getting older. I'm 38 now, but it's just I felt like I was settling and doing what everyone else expected me to do. And
I like.
It's like I created this like persona for myself that couldn't be further, in case anyone follows me on Instagram these days, couldn't be further like the person that I actually am. And again, that comes from age and experience and becoming more comfortable with yourself. I would say like now especially, I'm a very wide open person, have a fun sense of humor, like say and do things that I wouldn't have ever done before because I was afraid to, push the limit or be something that like people didn't expect me to be. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. It's like, especially as women, we kind of box ourselves into this thing because we want to be liked and not push any boundaries. And my thing now, especially with having a daughter, is like, it's okay to take up space and it's okay to be, not loud isn't the right word, but it's okay. It's just, it's okay to have a personality and to not worry all the time about being liked and everything.
So I like to refer to that as an evolution, right? I think it's so important that we all take those moments in our lives to evolve and find our true selves. So it's not like, I hate the word midlife crisis, because what is that anyway, right? I think it's so important that we, because you go down this path and it's just like you said, it's, we do the things we think we should do. We kind of fit into the box that people tell us we should fit in. But at some point we have to look in the mirror and go, is that really me? Am I really being true to myself? And I feel like that's, you have a beautiful story of that. It's a true evolution of you. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I think we should get away, just do away with the term midlife crisis forever.
It more like you said, it was more like finding who I really was. Yes. And post-divorce, I took a year and I traveled and I dated, and dating's not the right word. I went on dates with basically everyone. Like, it didn't matter what age you were, where you came from, what you did for a living. It was like this time of self-discovery is a better word. Self, yes. Or better. It was a time of like self-discovery, and I traveled alone and just tried out like things I had been afraid to do. I learned how to surf, which was actually like a big thing for me because I had been scared of the ocean before. And surfing is a thing where like you kind of have to give up control. And I was a big, big control freak. And it felt like everything else in my life at the time, when I separated from my husband, was so out of control. And I had control over nothing except for obviously like my feelings and emotions. And so learning how to surf for me was something where it was like, you can't like hold on too tight. And you can't have too much control over it. But that was something, again, that was just so out of character for me. It became like a lifesaver. And that's why I think I've got it around here somewhere. The cover of my book is actually me with a surfboard.
Nice.
And, because it just signifies like such a changing point in my life where I went from like proper in this safe box, Chris, to like this different person. And I think what, so from Los Angeles, I ended up moving to Nashville, got my real estate license when I was pregnant, because I knew I wanted a bit more stable of a career than television. And I was also, I also ghostwrite books. So at the time I was ghostwriting books, still doing some TV work. I knew I wanted something a little bit more stable. Especially when having a child. So I got my real estate license, and I would say that becoming a mom was kind of like the second like rebirth of Chris. And she just turned 2, and it has taken me until about, I would say, a few months ago, to really like reclaim who I am and what it means to be me, and to try and fit in all of the different pieces, because I had her at 36, which I feel like in a way is harder because you're more set in your ways, like who you are. I had obviously like been through this divorce years ago and gotten remarried. And so I felt like I had just gotten my feet underneath me when I got pregnant, and I had this fear of like losing myself, and I was really concerned about postpartum depression. And it was one of those things where it was like, while you're pregnant, you're just trying not to think about that kind of stuff. And I ended up getting hit pretty hard with not only postpartum anxiety, but postpartum depression. And I talk about that time, like it's through this fog or like this haze of some kind. It's almost like I can't even remember it clearly because that's how intense it was. And it's something that I'm extremely open about because mental health is so important. There's a stigma attached to it. There's a stigma attached to taking medication, which I ended up going on medication. And it's just something that like enough people don't talk about. Right. And I think we don't talk about the transition enough of person or woman to mom. because we're just told, like, you know, when you're pregnant, you're constantly celebrating. There's baby showers, there's excitement, everyone's so happy. And then you come home with this baby, and not only are you physically broken and recovering from birth, right, but mentally you don't know which way is up. And then on top of it, like, you've got an extremely helpless and needy child that you're now taking care of. And I just think, again, I think we don't give women enough credit for the change that happens. We don't give them enough support, especially not here in the United States. And I just think there's this, oh, it's hard, but you're a mom, so you're a superhero thing that happens. And I think it's like, it's pretty screwed up. There's definitely not enough support for women having children in this country.
I completely agree with you. And it's so interesting because, yeah, we do kind of put this title or label, or like super mom, right? You can do it all, have it all. But really, do you want to? I mean, did anyone ask you if you wanted to be a superhero, right? So it's interesting that you say that, because I just remember my own experience having my children. And I remember my boss called me while I was on maternity leave, and he was like, so do you think you might come back early? And I was like, what? Why are you asking me this? But I think you're right. In this country, there absolutely is a push to, like, be able to be superhuman. And no one really stops to ask you how you're doing. And when you, like you said, when you're pregnant, people say, oh, it'll just come natural. It'll all be natural. And you're like, what? When you're up at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're like, I haven't slept in a week and this child is screaming and I don't know what else to do. It's not about what's natural. It's about survival at that point.
And I mean, even now when people hear my schedule, and again, I'm one of the lucky ones that has a partner that's supportive of my career. He's a great dad, but like, there's still stuff that falls on women that men just don't, it's the mental load, right? Like that, that men just don't fully understand. And so for me, I've got my real estate license. So I've got my real estate business, and then I opened it's basically a house management company for all the people moving in from out of town. So I've got a team of women that I hired, that I manage, but on top of managing our clients. And then, I'm tied in with a private aviation group, and I'm also, in the process of hopefully selling a TV show. And when people like hear my day, so I get up at 4:45, 5:00. I take about an hour just to like have some coffee, just make sure no fires happened overnight, and work on social media is a huge part of what I do. So that's typically my like social media time. At 6 o'clock, I work out. At 7:15, 7:30, I get my daughter. I do breakfast with her, you know, spend morning time with her. And I'm really, really, it's really important to me that I'm not on my phone in front of her. So I've got my phone down. I spend time with her. From there, I get ready. I go to the office. I'm in the office all day. Around 5 o'clock, I come home, spend time with her, cook her dinner, put her down, and then have a few minutes to myself before I, like, you know, cook, clean, do the laundry, all that kind of thing. And then I get in bed and I do it all over again. And yeah, there's a point, like, I'm tired, but I'm also doing things that I'm very passionate about. And it's important to me that I'm a very active and involved mom. But yeah, I mean, people say to me all the time, oh my God, you're a superhero. You're this, you're that. And it's like, I don't know how I do it all most days.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you do it. And, but that's the only option, because again, childcare options in this country are very limited. Like, we have a nanny currently, but like, our daughter is on, you know, 3 different wait lists for schools, which would be an ideal situation, because then you're not relying, you know, if you're only relying on one person, then if she's sick or this or that, like, I can't work for the day. So it's just, it's a struggle. There's a lot And you just kind of have to work through it because, again, you're a woman, and what's the other option? The other option is to stay home. So, which for
Right.
me mentally wasn't something that I wanted to do.
So you just talked about a lot. I mean, you do have a tremendous amount going on in your life. And I think it's great, but how do you stay mentally fit? Like, what do you do that helps get you through each day? And are also who? Are there people, other people? Do you have like a community around you?
So, what gets me through a day is I told myself if I was going to be doing, if I was going to be having a career outside of the home that was going to be taking me away from my daughter, is that I had to be working for myself, creating a company that had future value. It's called Wilder Co. So Wilder is my daughter's middle name. I wanted to be creating something that Graham could be proud of when she got older. And you know, it's exhausting, but the team that I've surrounded myself with, the girls that work for me, they keep me, I'm the oldest out of all of them. So they keep me young, they keep me laughing every day, although can sometimes be, well, it's a circus most of the time. It's always fun. So I would say it's the passion behind it that like keeps me going. And the fact that even though I'm not spending all day every day with my daughter, I know that mentally I am better if I am not a full-time stay-at-home mom. And you know, I think again, it's like it's the passion for the things that I'm doing that gets me up and rolling every morning. Now, am I tired? Like, of course, but that's all of us to some degree. Am I tired and hating what I'm doing for a living? No. So that's the difference. So there's a type of stress to it, but it's not like necessarily like a negative stress. It's a, I'm excited to be doing what I'm doing, growing the business, watching my daughter like grow up and thrive, and knowing that she's going to see a mom that is mentoring women and create, you know, has created like a business for herself. And that to me is the most important thing.
So you've also been through a ton of transitions. So, and transitions aren't easy. I mean, you went from small town Virginia, Virginia Tech, and then moving to one of the largest cities in the world in New York. Like, there had to be some fear there. Like, what helped you like get over that? Where'd you find your courage and like really just kind of push forward? And also you look You realize I admire you for this because so few people I think do this successfully, but you realize the fashion industry ultimately wasn't for you and you had to make a change and you had the courage to do that. Like, where does that come from?
So I think the courage to move places, like I said, my parents always really taught me independence, and I'm the oldest child in the family, so I think that definitely helped. So from a moving standpoint, it was more like I just felt like I had something more in me, more than staying in my small town in Virginia, more than staying in New York City post-divorce, where I was pretty miserable, more than staying in Los Angeles knowing that I didn't want to raise a family there. Because when we moved to Nashville, we didn't know anyone. And I've always had this like sense of adventure, and I kind of look at everything as an adventure. And I just don't ever want to look back on my life and be like, gosh, I wish I had lived there, or I wish I had done that. Like, I feel pretty good about what I've accomplished. And the job thing, so I will say, like, I got to a point where it just wasn't mentally healthy for me to stay in the fashion industry. And so that was kind of like a force, because it was just like I was being like verbally abused on like a daily, you know, by a boss. And yeah, it just became like something that wasn't healthy. So that transition was almost something that was just necessary for me to be mentally okay.
It's interesting. I think that my niece worked in the fashion industry for a while and she finally said, you know what, this isn't for me. And she described it very similarly to the way you just did. And I, so the Devil Wears Prada really is real, right?
my boss was worse than that.
I can't even imagine.
So, yeah, it's an intense industry, and I really think it's something that needs to be looked at and scrutinized, because again, you are not getting paid. You're never getting paid enough to be treated badly. But especially in this case, for the hours that everybody's working and stuff, you're getting paid garbage to like live in the most expensive city in the world. At this job, I was making $13.50 an hour, $13.50 an hour. And, you know, obviously I like was able to work some overtime and stuff, but like my parents weren't helping me.
Right.
I would go like days where I'd be like, okay, am I going to take a cab home, or am I going to have money for dinner? Like things like that. And I do think that kind of stuff shapes you for sure. As a person, and you know, you learn like ways around it. And I see some kids these days, like two generations under me, getting very coddled. And I didn't have that. Like my parents were obviously always there, and they wouldn't have let me like starve, but you know, they weren't helping me with rent or anything like that. Because I think their attitude was, if you want to do this, then you need to feel the struggle of what it looks like to actually do it. And, you know, I think, again, I like owe a lot to them to have taught me that independence, and to have taught me like the struggle. And I just think I am not entitled. I still operate on the mentality that like everything you have can still be financially taken away, and you need to have like a contingency plan for that. And so I owe a lot to my parents when it comes to that kind of thing.
So I love what you said about adventure. I recently, and I've told this a couple of times, so people listening to the podcast will have heard it before, but I just thought it was so compelling. I was in an online networking group of women, and all C-suite, you know, executive level women at some point in their careers. And, you know, now at different stages, some entrepreneurs starting their own careers. And so we were having a discussion about boundaries and how to set boundaries. And, you know, for women, like we talked about, there's a lot of different titles out there. We're all wearing many, many hats and have a lot of responsibilities. And so we were going around the table, just kind of talking through that, you know, what does it look like to set boundaries? Why set boundaries? Why it's important, that sort of thing. And the facilitator of this group had asked the question, if you could have more of something in your life, what would it be? And instantly, you know, the majority of the group, and thankfully I was towards the end when they asked me, but the majority of the group said time. And because everyone wants more time, right? I need more time to get everything done that I need to get done. And I thought to myself, it actually kind of made me sad as I was listening to these women all say they needed more time and wanted more time in their lives, more time for themselves. And I thought to myself, that's impossible, because we can't create more time. But
right.
I said, I wanted more adventure in my life, right? And I love that you said that, because I think it is so important that we take the time that we have and live it to the fullest. And finding an adventure in everything we do. And I feel like you've written that book already. You've done that in your life. So I'm hoping we'll inspire other people to do the same. So kudos to you.
Thank you. And I was actually having a version of this conversation the other day. Someone was saying to me like, oh, you seem so happy all the time. And it was just like, because I think we have forgotten how to laugh and have fun, especially the older that we get. And not that I'm saying like 38 is not old by any means, but I see so many women my age just like bogged down by life and aging and motherhood. And it's like, I don't want my daughter to ever see an example of a mother or her mother not taking care of herself, not having fun, not going on girls' trips with my friends, not spending time alone. Because, you know, that to me is not taking time away from my daughter. It's giving her a gift of knowing that self-care is okay. So when she gets older, and she has children or a spouse or, you know, whatever her future looks like. To me, the biggest gift that I can give to her is knowing that it's okay to take care of yourself, and it's okay to have these adventures, and it's okay to make, I mean, as I was making these decisions to like move all of these different places, like people thought I was insane. Yeah. Like, Chris, oh my God, you're going through so many transitions in life. Why are you also moving to California? And it's like, well, why not? Like, or, you know, you finally settle in California. Why are you moving to Nashville? It's like, why not? Like, not hurting anyone. Financially, I'm fine. So why not? Like, luckily, I have a job set up that allows me to live and be and do kind of, you know, obviously right now it's a lot more limited, but I'm even considering at the moment, like getting my real estate license in another state because why not? It's like you said, it's these adventures that we really need to like take hold with. I'm just not the live in the same place for the rest of my life, 9-to-5 job in a cubicle kind of person. Like it just doesn't fit my personality or what I want for my life.
I love that. And I hope that what you're doing inspires other people to do the same, because I do think that we tend to get into a rut and we don't know mm-hmm. how to get out of it oftentimes. And, you know, I feel like, you know, especially our parents' generation, they kind of grew up with the, well, you've got these responsibilities and you need to take care of those things. And of course you do, but it's also been in the context of you've got to go to school and get a good education and get a good job. And it's got to look like this. And you got to stay inside this box because it gives you security. And right. I think too often that we get stuck in that security and we become complacent. Mm-hmm. And like you said, we kind of forget to live. And then, you know, sometimes yeah. it takes these, you know, pivotal moments to just really stop you in your tracks and say, wait, why am I doing this? I've been through some transitions myself. I, you know, found myself like in a spot 2 years ago where I was like, I don't even know who I am anymore. I have been living so much for right. everyone else. I don't even know who I am or what resonates with me. And like you, I went on this self-discovery journey, and I have to say when I first started, it wasn't the easiest time of my life, but man, am I mm-hmm. so happy being on the other end of that now. And so it feels good. And I appreciate the people along the way who helped me and encouraged me to do that and explore that. But I also appreciate the people along the way that said, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You know, how could you leave a job that pays such good money and start your own company and do this? And, and I mean, like, because those are the people that I want to say, why not do it? Like you said, why not?
Well, I think the people that have the hardest time understanding it are the people that wish they could do it and they don't. You know, it comes with like anything really. Like you're talking to friends about wanting to get divorced and they freak out and don't understand it, or they look down on you because of it, because they're unhappy but won't do anything about it. Or you're talking about like moving somewhere and people think you're crazy, but it's because they would like to do it and they don't. So I have stopped living my life asking people for permission.
Yes, that's awesome.
Like no more, no more. And again, I think that comes with like, I'm in my late 30s now. You're not really looking for other people's approval. There's a way to still be, you know, because I think a lot of us too really struggle with like, we want everyone to like us and don't want to rock the boat. And I think there's a line, there's like a way to like balance that out by just, you know, being firm, doing what's best for you and being pretty unapologetic about what is mentally best for right. you. And a lot of people struggle with that because they feel guilty or they, I don't know. There's just like a lot of reasons behind it, but I think you just have to stop, especially women, asking permission to do things, because people are going to give you their opinion based on their past experiences, which are not your past experiences. So having someone to listen, and I usually say this, if I'm like talking to a friend or something about something that I don't necessarily need an opinion on. I just need someone to listen. Say that. Like, I'm not really looking for your opinion right now, but I would love for you just to listen to me.
That's a great one. And I think too often people, their advice is based in their own fears. And I've even gotten to a place now myself to say, wait, why am I making this decision? Is that a decision that I really, is that something I really want to do? Or is that because I'm afraid of something, and really stopping and taking a moment to ask myself, why am I feeling this way? Why am I responding this way? Is it fear-based and really trying to turn that upside down? So, I mean, this is fascinating. I love this conversation, but I'm curious, what's next for you? You've got so much going on. You're doing so much. It's like, I feel like you're just scratching the surface right now. What's next?
Yeah, so I'm growing my real estate business here in Nashville, which has been great. I just brought on another role in my real estate team. I'm about to add another agent, which is great. So that's the real estate side. On the house management, like home services concierge business, I'm looking at expanding into other markets. And then I'm also kind of in the tail end of creating an investor deck. That way I really can focus on the expansion of the home services. And then on top of that, I am pitching a TV show. So I've got, and on top of just being a mom and a wife in general, I'm trying to keep my act together and be a good friend, a good sibling, good daughter. So yeah, that's kind of what's happening next is really the expansion of the business. I like to take this time of year, so we don't really have, we just finished up with a few clients. And instead of like really focusing on like, oh my gosh, we don't have clients right now. I know it's the holidays. I know it's a slower season. So for me, we've actually, you can't see it, but let me see if I can. I've got this entire wall of papers
I see that.
that we did yesterday that are just goals for the rest of the year. And for me, I like have to see things written out. So I've got them up on the wall and it's like, these are the things we're going to work on for the rest of the year instead of focusing on picking up clients. Because again, people are busy this time of year. They're not moving. They're not wanting to buy houses. So typically, when I first started off in real estate, I would have this whole panic of like, I don't have a client. I'm not going to have any more clients before the end of the year. And now I just try to use the time smarter. And yeah, so that's kind of what's on tap for right now.
So what about your writing? You said you've also, I mean, obviously you've written a book and you've had a blog and all that. Would any more writing in your future?
Yeah, I haven't taken on any projects recently, but I ghostwrite books for people. And that's where, just for anyone that doesn't know, I will interview the author, write the book for them, collaborate with them through the entire process, and then the book gets published under their name. So
Right,
my,
right.
and then I also do a decent amount of writing coaching where someone wants to write the book themselves, but they need somebody to kind of guide them through that process. And I've even kind of toyed around with writing a screenplay to sell because the writing process to me is so cathartic. It's something I have always loved to do. I obviously wrote my self-help book, but even
Right.
prior to that, I wrote a cookbook with a partner. So it's just kind of something that's always been, ever since I was a little kid, I had a diary and a journal and like it's just something that like I love to do. I do a very small piece of it on my Instagram account, where I kind of use those as like mini, every post is like a mini blog. And then I also, something I haven't mentioned, I have a podcast where I am spotlighting women-owned businesses in Nashville. So it's been really cool to like get to know the women of Nashville, to collaborate with them. So that is on hiatus right now until after the new year.
I mean, again, I don't know how you do it all, but you're inspiring me. I'm like, well, I got to get my act together.
Coffee. Coffee.
You know, it's funny. I was never a coffee drinker until 2 years ago, and now I can't live without it.
So, you know, the crazy thing is I don't even really need the caffeine. I'm one right. of these people, like, I call myself a, like, I have, like, golden retriever.
Yeah, Velcro dogs. That's what I call them. I've always owned golden retrievers.
So I've got, like, this, or, like, golden doodle. You know, this
Yeah.
Dog energy. So I don't necessarily need the coffee. I just like to walk around holding it all day.
It's the experience, right? This is why Starbucks is so successful. It's like you said, it's just like holding the cup. Is there something about it? There's something comforting about it.
100%. And it's literally, I will walk around with the same cup of coffee from 5 a.m. until, I mean, I still have it. It's almost afternoon.
I love it. I love it. So just one last question for you. You know, we talk here on this Her Journey Told, we talk about, we tell people stories, but really the driver behind it is mental fitness and helping people thrive in life. And I know I'm putting you on the spot on this one. I didn't prepare you for it, but if you could give advice to the audience, what would the one piece of advice be just to like help people like just guide themselves through those transitions of life?
Yeah. And well, and you're in luck because I used to do so much live TV that I feel like I'm never really getting put on the spot anymore.
I knew you could handle it.
I would say it's just, it's really simple. And this can really hit in any aspect, whether it's relationships, work, it's just, stop living a life you're not happy with. It's really simple. It's like, it might not be easy to create the life that you're happy with initially. It might require a lot of change. It might require hurting some people. It might require doing some things that you don't want to do. But all of those things are growth as a person. And just living, again, living a life that you're not happy with, to me, is just not acceptable. Like,
and you talk about this in your self-help book, right? Mm-hmm. So tell us the name of the book and where people can find it.
Yeah, it's called Break Up Positive, and it's under my, gosh, I think it's published under my maiden name. So it's under Chris Drury, but it's on Amazon. So Break Up Positive.
That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. This has been great. I know I've certainly enjoyed every minute of it, especially from a fellow Virginia girl. So
I love it. Virginia is for lovers, right?
That's right. Yes, indeed. Indeed. Well, thank you again and for sharing. Sure. And I know the audience is going to love this podcast. So you've been listening. You've been listening to the Her Journey Told podcast, brought to you by Pivotal Moments Media. Please check in every week for a new episode. Thanks. You've been listening to the Her Journey Told podcast, powered by Pivotal Moments. For more inspirational content, go to pivotalmoments.org. I'm Sandy Lutton. Thanks so much for joining us. Make sure to keep an eye out for more episodes where podcasts can be heard. See you next time.